Last week we talked about how God is always, right? He's always. He not just is, but He's always. He's consistent. He's always love. He's always everything that He says He is. And that's a great comfort to think about how He's always. And it's a route to comfort is to consider, am I always? Am I always loving, gentle, kind, peaceful? I want to be. We all want to be, don't we? We want to be. Been singing for 36 years how I want to be more like Jesus. And sincere in that. But I'm not always. My deepest part of me, yes, I'm always wanting more of the Lord. But I couldn't say that I was always everything that God created me to be. Someday I will be. Someday we all will be. Press toward the mark for the prize. We will be. But I'm not always. And that's not necessarily comforting to me that I'm not always. Because I want to be. And I know that God always wants me to be. And I do take comfort in the fact that He is able to complete the good work that He began. But I don't think that releases me to just say, well, Lord, You started this thing, You've got to finish it. But at the same time, I think it's wise to sometimes say, Lord, You said You can complete this good work. We got a tough one here, maybe. You know, I haven't got it all figured out. And if you have, then praise the Lord. But if you've never come into a place where you wondered who this person is, looking at yourself, and what they've done with the person that they want to be, then you're pretty close to the perfect life. I read a quote this morning that I won't quote. I will read just because I want to do it properly. It says, where there's no passion for the Word of God, other passions take over. Passions do take over, don't they? They do. Sometimes anger takes over. Sometimes doubt takes over. Sometimes fear takes over. Sometimes disappointment takes over. Sometimes bitterness takes over, you know? And if there's not passion for the Word of God in those circumstances, then the passions can take over. And so we're developing the turning to the Lord all of the time. We're developing our early warning systems. We're developing those things that as Spider-Man had, the spidey sense. He knew when something was up. He would tingle. Well, you know, we can recognize when we're in a circumstance. You know, yesterday I was out here and getting the snow cleared out, and somebody stopped, and this person has stopped 20 times, probably. And she always has a great story. It was just too cold to hear all of the story. Always amazes me. I think it's possible. Even though it doesn't seem probable, you know. And I'm always amazed when people take off on 200-mile trips with 20 miles of gas, you know, when it's 15 below and the wind's blowing. You know, I'm like, I was peaceful enough not to say, are you stupid? You know. But I had a strange feeling in that, and I spoke what I felt, and I just said, simply said, I can't help you today. You know, she kind of had this look on her face like, yeah, it was worth a try. You know? Do you think there's somebody else that can help me? I said, I have no idea. But today I just don't have anything for you. And that's weird. Because usually my flesh just wants, oh yeah, you know, we better do something. But that was not what I had coming at me yesterday. And so that, of course, was on my mind a bit. And so then I'm thinking, oh Lord, I must have missed you. You wouldn't possibly have the had in that in mind, but I knew pretty clearly, you know. And this morning, as I was getting ready to do the devotion, the Lord gave me the verse in Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I'm humble and I'm gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you. Now, for whatever reason that I don't know, I mean, God certainly wouldn't deprive someone just to teach me to say no. But it's possible that God knows more about the story than I do. And this is the case in our lives. God knows more about the story than we do. God knows the beginning from the end, so he knows more about the story. And we just have to trust him knowing more about the story. Not sometimes, but all the time. We have to trust that sometimes we make a mess, sometimes other people make a mess, and it wasn't a surprise to God, but God lets messes go. Because when he does clean up the mess, it's going to be amazing. When he cleans up all the messes, it's going to be amazing. But we have been, we're subject to the deceiver who tries to convince us, you know, any direction. You know, you have experienced him from a lot of directions. Everybody has. He will try to push us in the direction of this is all your fault. And if he can get us going in the direction that it's all our fault, then he can get us down and he can get us bitter and he can get us depressed. And then he'll try the one of, you know, you'll never get this God thing right, just give up. There's a lot of people that have given up. There's a lot of people that have given up just because they didn't have the passion for the Word of God. They knew they should have some passion for the Word of God, but other passions have taken over and taken over and taken over until the enemy says, you'll never make it, but that's not true. That is not true. The truth is that God is able. And the truth is that I should never be comfortable if I'm not always. I should never be, you know, oh, well, I guess I'm just not perfect. I should always be uncomfortable when I'm not always what God has given me to be. I should never just say, oh, well, tough. But I should never say it's too tough. I should never say that I can't make it. And I should never stop believing that God knows more than I do. And when I can't figure it out, even when I can't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. He is working. That's a good reminder. That song's a great reminder. That song has delivered a lot of people. It's healed a lot of people. It's carried a lot of people. It's simple as can be, but as that is who you are. I was on YouTube, and sometimes when I'm cleaning out my email, it's good to have something good in my ears. And anyway, a different person was doing That Is Who You Are, and then a gal that I've heard sing a lot of stuff, she was involved in it too. But anyway, they did that song for 28 minutes. One song. And people were being healed and delivered and carried the whole time. And the only reason I know it was 28 minutes is because the little slide says it's 28 minutes. It didn't seem like 28 minutes. But sometimes it takes time. It takes time to break in to an open door. You see, God has given us an open door, but sometimes we stand outside the door like it's locked and bolted. Whether it's fear to go in, or whether it's doubt that we can get in, or whether it's a hesitancy because, you know, what if the answer's not there? And I think, there's all kinds of reasons that we do, but sometimes we just have to enter in to that place that God has for us. We just have to go ahead and enter in. Oh, if we would always enter in, but I don't think anybody always enters in. But if just once we enter in, that will increase our hunger to enter in more. You see, I'm going to lay down my burdens. I'm really going to do it this time. Watch me. It's like a little kid at the play days or whatever they call them now. They're so busy looking to see if mom and dad are looking that they sometimes miss the start. And sometimes they're so determined to win that they're halfway through the race before the start. Come jogging back to get to the beginning. Because you know if somebody takes off early, there's a whole lot of other people to say, he cheated. You know, I guess I wouldn't mind too much if people accused me of cheating because I ran quickly into the presence of God. You're a cheater. You trust God. Guilty. You know, oh, you're always just trusting God. Oh, thank you so much. Press toward the mark. Pressing toward the mark may require an adjustment in the guidance system. If you drive down the road, most everyone at some time or another has caught the little rumble strips. You know, I really like rumble strips. You know, they're beneficial. They really are. They probably save a lot of lives. I've never been mad at rumble strips. I was a little confused when they put the rumble strips in the middle of the road going into Pier. You know, because then if you pass somebody, it's like, and then, and I've sort of experimented with them, trying to get them to be not such a rumble. But you know what? You're gonna rumble. You're just gonna have to. But they're good. And God is so kind. The Holy Spirit is like a continual rumble strip. He'll remind us. Now, when I hit the rumble strip in a vehicle, I don't just drive into the ditch and hit a pole because I'm so disappointed that I hit the rumble strip. And in the same way, when I try to pass cars, I don't try to find a way to zip in and out of the, because you can't do it. You cannot zip in and out of those rumble strips. You cannot miss them when you're passing. It's not, well, I don't think it's possible. I might have just challenged myself. I might see if I can do it on my motorcycle this summer. Find a spot, but I don't think so. I don't know if they've got a big enough gap. I'm sure there are people that are gifted enough to do that. I would like to get to a place where I never hit a rumble strip. In the spirit, I really would. I would like to. I do sometimes try to concentrate on never hitting the rumble strips, at least on the outside of the road. But sometimes my car wanders. Could have something to do with me driving with my knees to get my water bottle. Who knows what it could be, you know? I've been trying to, have you ever tried to figure out that those scale things that they built into the highway? Does anybody know if they work? They do work? If you've got a big truck, does the light come on and tell you how much you weigh? Oh. Okay, so there's not anything. See, they put those lights up, but I've never seen anything on those lights. So I thought maybe if you had like an 18-wheeler, you know, that when you went across that scale that's supposed to weigh them, that it like flashed you your weight, or at least flashed you and said, you better pull in, or I don't know, you know, but it's got to serve some purpose. Sometimes, guys, when we are walking along with the Lord, we see things that don't make any sense to us. And those are good places where we believe God and listen to Jesus, who said, just take my yoke upon you. Because we are not intended to carry yokes all by ourselves. What happens when we carry yokes all by ourselves? What happens when we carry the burdens all by ourselves? They wear us down. They confuse us. They rob us. You know? They just steal things. You know, like when, I wasn't a thinker when I was in high school. I wasn't, you know, and I look at a guy like Blake, and Blake, he's a thinker. He's a planner, you know. Well, if I was a planner nowadays in high school, I could be scared. Because I'm not sure, but I think Blake really likes his digs now, but I don't know that he wants to live in mom's basement for his whole life. Jen is not about to say, Blakey, don't go anywhere, okay? But you know, I mean, my goodness, the things that they say about, you know, when you listen to the college students and you think about the debt that people have when they get out of college, and you think about, well, what kind of job are they going to have to begin to pay off that? You know, I mean, you got all that. If you're thinking about that, boy, that's a good place to take my yoke upon you, says the Lord. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Those places where you don't know, where you don't understand, when you can't comprehend, let's let him teach us. And I've often said that sometimes the most blessed thing that I come away from God is I don't have to know. Just let me teach you. Teach you to trust me. Teach you that I've got this. Even if you never see how I've got this, I've got it. Even if you never feel like it's gone, believe it's gone. See, this is the benefit, this is the blessing that we have from God, that we live a different life. And we can always choose life. You see, because sometimes we think we're ready, sometimes we think we know, but in our heart, we're saying, I don't have an idea, any idea. Sometimes things get better, and then all of a sudden, it's like, well, it should just keep getting better, but it doesn't always keep getting better. But he always keeps getting better. See, his way is always better. He's better than best. See, because there can be a best way, but he's got a better way. There can be what we think is best, but his is better. So that we are willing to yield to the better way. And the better way is just take his yoke upon you. Let him teach you. Take the time to just rest in his presence. The absolute only, but maybe a great benefit of whatever that thing was that our granddaughter gave us for Christmas. And maybe she didn't even give it to us. I don't know. But that thing, I rested more in the last two, how long it's ever been. I've rested more than I probably have in the previous 66 years of my life. Rested. Sometimes I was coughing viciously while I was resting. So if you cough all night, then you rest better. I rested. My energy spurts were brief. I was very efficient. I got done what I needed to get done quite quickly, and then I was resting. So that part was wonderful. And in the midst of that, I think that God has sort of encouraged me that maybe I should learn to do that regularly. You see, even rested my brain. Shut that thing off. Our brains are always going, aren't they? And I tried to practice the idea of forward progress in thinking when my brain was going for good things. But in the midst of all of that, I've had some weird dreams that I should not have a part in my life. Do you have any dreams ever that you shouldn't have a part in your life? Wasn't something that you ever thought about, something that you don't ever want to think about anymore, and something you don't want to spend too much time trying to figure out? Because sometimes those things will condemn you. I don't dream as much when I don't sleep as well. I don't know. Doesn't make any difference. But when I ask the question of myself, am I always, I have to be honest and say no. Am I progressing toward it? Trying. I'm not going to say, oh, almost always, because have you ever noticed sometimes that when you're moving, sometimes you don't feel like you're moving forward, you're moving backward? You know, it's those things that come, those things from the enemy, those things, those thoughts, those angers, those passions that come, and you think, I shouldn't even have these passions anymore. You're going to have them till you die. They are going to be there. But thanks be to God who has delivered us from the power of them. He didn't deliver us from sin. He delivered us from the power of sin. Isn't that something? You're going to have to choose. I'm going to have to choose. And our desire is to always choose life. And to not be over, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That must mean that evil's coming. That must mean that there are opportunities to overcome it. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but remember, I've overcome it. Jump in the overcome train. Hop quickly. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Let me teach you. If we will always let him teach us. He says we'll find rest for our souls. What if we just refused to quit seeking until rest settled in? Knowing that there is rest there, knowing that there is a place there, knowing if the lights go out in your house and you don't have those little lights that bomb on and the electricity goes away, you know where you've put things for light. You know where you've put flashlights. You know where you maybe have a battery-operated light. You know where those things are. And you find your way to them. Now, there have been times, and there will be times, when you find your way to it, and you flip the switch, and you wish you would have checked the batteries. I think that happens to us spiritually sometimes. We flip the switch, we know exactly what to do, we know exactly where it is, but our batteries are low. So we're quickly fumbling, trying to find a way to get the light to shine better. No, folks, there has only been one who is always, and that's Jesus. It is true. And the very fact that you wonder if you're always is a big plus. Because some people have no passion for God whatsoever. And when people have no passion for God or His Word whatsoever, we see how other passions take over. Well, people have been talking for years and years that the dark is going to get darker and the light is going to get lighter. And boy, gray is disappearing, isn't it? I mean, it is flat disappearing. At an exponential rate. And that can be tough. But we don't want gray in our lives, do we? And we recognize darkness. And we have a way designed by God, clearly stated by Jesus, take my yoke upon you, let me teach you. Because he says, I'm humble and I'm gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I think humble and gentle at heart is like saying, I want to do this more than anything. I just want to help you. I just want to help. See, we've got to know him as the one who wants to help us. And the more we know him, the more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you, the more we know him as the one who wants to help us, the more quickly we'll run, and the more quickly we won't step out, stand outside the door, but we'll just run in because it's our place of safety. It's our place, you know, when it's really, 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 really cold like this, you know, first thing I have to do is convince Mia to go outside. She'll come and she'll bite my fingers, lick at my fingers. She wants to go. So I say, okay, let's go outside. And then she'll go up and she'll sit on the step and she'll look at me. She's building up, you know, she's building up courage to go outside, but I really don't want to go outside, Dad. But Mia, you have to go outside. Neither one of us wants to answer to Mom. You don't do those things. You'll want to go outside. I try to entice her with treats. I try to entice her with everything. And finally, I put my hat on, and I start to walk out the door, and she wanders over. The other day, when it was windy and cold, Vicky and I were chasing her around the table. She said, you take that side. I'll take this side. So we're trying to catch her, and Vicky caught her, and I took her outside. I want to tell you something. On those days, she's quick. I mean, quick. She ran out, and it was cold, and she was going to quit before she was done. I said, no, you can't quit. You have to poop. I'm sorry. You know? And so she spun a couple of circles. She got up to the end of the driveway. She looked at me. I know she wanted to come back in. Finally, she just spun three times, and it was done, and she was in. That's how quick we need to be. It's a cold world out there, folks. It's a cold world out there. See, you got an urge in you. You got an urge in you that wants to run to God. You got an urge in you to take His yoke upon you. You got an urge in you for Him to teach you. You want His answers so much. You want His peace so much. You do. I do. We do. And that's all he wants to give us. So even if we're not always, may we always be seeking God. May we always hunger for his comfort and for his wisdom. Because he is always. Amen. Lord, we're thankful that we can come to you and you just guide us. And so that's what we ask, Lord, that you would guide us. Keep us as the apple of your eye, Lord. Guide us deeper and deeper into your truth at all times. Grant us willing spirits, Lord, to sustain us, to follow those urges that the Holy Spirit has placed in us to just come to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are closer right now than we've ever been in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.